It's here and now. One of the biggest online dating sites is growing up. Match.com turns 20 this year, and Match has changed a lot since it debuted in 1995. Back then, you didn't really talk about going online to find a date. These days, it's different. The Pew Research Center recently found a majority of Americans now say using the internet is a good way of meeting people. Match.com has a lot of progeny and a lot of competitors, but it's still one of the biggest online dating sites. So we decided to get the view from the top of the online dating world with Sam Yagan. He is CEO of the Match Group. He oversees online dating sites owned by IAC Interactive Corp, such as Match.com, Tinder, and OkCupid, which he co-founded back in 2004 with some fellow Harvard classmates. Sam, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks so much for having me.
You were a math and economics student, I understand, at Harvard. You got into online dating because you believed that it was all a numbers game. How romantic.
Thanks. The choice was, do I want my love life determined by a psychologist or a mathematician? I picked the mathematician every day of the week.
Well, you picked well, I think, at the time. How did you decide that this was a numbers game, the dating game?
Well, we fundamentally believed that the way to predict compatibility was to basically rely on data and to allow people to customize an algorithm that would take into account their preferences and their own lifestyle to cull through the millions of profiles that we had to find the people that were most compatible with them. And fundamentally, we think of it more of a search problem. And when you're doing a search problem, you want as much data as possible on the search pool.
So does that mean that with the data comparison, that it's simply a matter of the more you date, the more chance you're going to find that perfect so-called partner?
No, I wouldn't say it's the more you date. I would say the larger the pool you have to select from, the more likely you are to find the most compatible person for you if you have the right algorithms working on your behalf. If you just have a very large search pool and you don't have good data, then you're just fishing in a big pond and you don't have any way to know that you're going to get a good catch. I think it's unrealistic to say that we can, you know, look through millions of people and find the one person that's best for you. But what we can do is we can say, of these millions of people, here are the top 100 that might be the ones that would be best for you to look through. And here are the bottom 1,000 or 100,000 that you shouldn't waste your time with. That level of granularity, sort of picking the most likely and the least likely, that's something that an algorithm can do really well. Predicting chemistry, who is the one, is something we're probably decades away from being able to do online.
Okay, and how did you learn that lesson? I mean, give us kind of the trajectory of how you decided to be.
I think it's as simple as looking at something like Google. Nobody ever clicks the "I'm feeling lucky" button because you don't. There are, you know, billions of pages on the internet, and you don't. Although you trust Google tremendously, you don't just want to go to the one page they want to send you to. You want Google to take those billion pages and say, hey, here are the 10 that are most likely to have the information you're looking for. And you want to be able to sort through and maybe click the first one, maybe click the second one, maybe go to the second page. And we just said that same logic makes sense. In fact, even more so when you're looking for something as intangible and hard to put your finger on as a romantic chemistry, you need even more probably to choose from than just the top 10.
Now, did you learn by using an online dating site yourself?
No. My three founders and I, all Harvard math majors, none of us have ever been on an online date, despite having started one of the most successful online dating companies.
So what did you learn about how to do it then? I mean, how did you figure it out, and how did you fail?
Again, some people come to innovation and entrepreneurship through a need that they are trying to solve for themselves. For us, it was more of a need that we saw in the marketplace. We saw that there wasn't any dating site at that time that was really focused on an algorithmic data-based approach. Now that's where the industry has moved quite a bit.
Since you and your partners had such foresight as you moved forward in the online dating game, how do you keep ahead of things right now? How do you keep ahead of your competitors, and how do you set trends, let alone keep up with them?
The most important thing culturally is you have to be willing to take risks and to fail. When you become an industry leader, there tends to be a risk aversion that you get because you've gotten successful, and in many ways the cost of making a mistake is so high. But we're up against competitors who are much smaller than us and who can take those risks and who can try new things that the industry leaders aren't doing. And so we try to make sure we are doing those things. And that starts by setting the right culture. And then after that, it's making sure that you have thought leaders who are out there pushing the envelope, trying to do great things. And Tinder is an example, a startup that has really innovated in our space.
Is there anything specifically, though, that you do as you're trying to stay ahead of the game? Is it going out maybe to see how people socialize, talking to people who are in the position of looking for a match?
I think there are really three things I look at. The first is, of course, the customer. You know, I get to be the nosiest friend or acquaintance that anyone has because it's my job to ask you about your dating life all the time. My friends and the people I know that I'm always going to ask them what they're doing, how they're dating, who they're dating, where they're going, what they're doing. And I'm constantly asking that question and making sure that I'm in touch with the customer. The second is to make sure that you're always using the competitive products. I think that's something that industry leaders sometimes don't do. They sometimes assume that, you know, that they're the ones who are setting the trends and doing the innovating. And for me, I actually use our competitors' products as much or more than I use our own.
Do you mean like scouting around through them or what?
Yeah, absolutely. I have all of our competitive apps on my phone, and you know, whenever I have downtime, I'm constantly using those products and figuring out what are the things that they are innovating on and what are the things that they're doing. And then I think the third is just generally staying current on technology and really trying to think not just in our category, but looking at what people are doing in other categories and thinking what are the applications of something someone's doing in a different vertical, different industry to dating.
Like what?
And use of location-based services, for example. If it's 7 o'clock in the evening, you might want someone you can meet for a drink in half an hour. If it's 8 o'clock in the morning, it might be someone that you're looking to meet on a Monday. You might be looking for someone that you can meet, you know, in 4 days on a Friday night. You know, as technology evolves, people are constantly finding different ways to apply it, and the application may not be exactly the same application that you'd use in dating, but it's something that you can be inspired by and say, oh, that use of location-based services for ordering my food or whatever is really interesting, and I can apply something similar to that in dating.
Time magazine named you in 2013, I think, one of the 100 most influential people in the country. I wonder how you see your own influence.
It was obviously a huge honor to be selected for that list. The other 99 people were all far more accomplished and influential than I am, for sure. My wife pointed out I'm the number 5 most influential person in my house, so being top 100 in the world was a stretch. You know, I think if you think about products that really impact humanity, dating is one of the most influential out there. I mean, there are over 1 million people running around the United States who were born to parents just on Match alone, to say nothing of the other properties that we run. So that's 1 million lives that, you know, our company just had a little bit to do with in bringing their parents together. So that is, I think that is a lot of influence. You know, definitely the relationships that come out of online dating cross more boundaries than those that don't. And so I think in that way, it's a very influential and has a huge impact in the trajectory of our society.
What do you, last question, what do you have on your bedside table for books, assuming that's where you read?
What am I reading right now? I'm really interested in autonomous vehicles and the impact that self-driving cars is going to have on our society going forward. And so I've been really into traffic and things related to cars lately.
Nothing about dating?
I spend all of my waking hours at work and in the shower and on my runs thinking about dating. And so I like to be inspired by other things and always looking for innovation.
If you spend all that time thinking about dating, you've got a very understanding wife.
Either that or a very lucky wife, one of the two.
Good one. Sam Yagan, thank you very much. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks so much for having me.